So I thought tonight I would talk a little bit about what this path isn't and what it is. And when I say path, I prefer that to the term Zen and or Buddhism only because those almost corral it a little too much, identified even a little more than it should be. It's free even of those ideas, but they're useful because there's a tradition there, and I'm going to draw from that tradition tonight. So one of the beautiful things about Buddhism is that it is not a system of beliefs. By that I mean it doesn't require you to accept anything that is not your own direct experience. And it doesn't require to worship anything, to pray to anything, to believe that there's something outside that's controlling things that you need to supplicate to, or anything like that. It's definitely not that. It's also not a philosophy. So when people hear that it's not the first thing, that it's a religion and that it's a practice leading to some deeper connection with something true, when they hear it's not a belief, they say, well, there must be a philosophy, but it's not a philosophy. It's not about understanding the world or figuring out the meaning of things. Now, it's not that that's completely absent from Buddhism, because it isn't absent from Buddhism. But it isn't the core of what it is. It isn't the fundamental aspect of Buddhism, and certainly not Zen, which is the distillation of whatever is fundamental in Buddhism. There are many schools and paths in Buddhism, and some of them do get quite philosophical. But the particular practice we're doing here has nothing to do with philosophy. Nothing. It's not about meaning. What is it? Well, one thing you can say about Buddhism is that it is founded upon a deep sensitivity to suffering and is all about how to deal with, go underneath, free oneself little by little and maybe in big steps from what is called suffering. This is what Buddhism is. This is the fundamental aspect of Buddhism. This is what the Buddha taught. The Four Noble Truths. It was the initial teaching of the Buddha. Life is suffering. That was the very first noble truth. Now, anyone who doesn't know that, and I don't think there's anyone that doesn't know that, but were someone not to know that, or have no sensitivity to that, or not care about that, I can guarantee you they would not be here. Life is suffering. That is the fundamental, very first step in this path, is to just get that all the way down to the bottom. Now, the very next thing that the Buddha taught in these Four Noble Truths was the cause of suffering. And the way that he put it was suffering is caused by, and this can be translated in many different ways, desire, craving, wanting. I like to think of it as comparison-mindedness. It's a movement in a direction, in response to an experience. And that movement in a direction, in response to an experience, quite often, if the movement is motivated by these three things, which I'll talk about, very often leads, sooner or later, if not immediately, to the experience of what we call suffering, which we all know and I don't have to define. Now, the Buddha talked about those three things, those three movements in response to an experience. One was called clinging, one was called rejecting, and one was called ignoring. And there's many different ways to clinging, attachment, wanting to hold on to something that you feel is favorable, even though it is inevitably temporary, because everything is temporary. The very last thing the Buddha said to his disciples when he was dying was, all component things are subject to decay. A profound statement, 500 years BC. This is well before the second law of thermodynamics, which says exactly that. All component things are subject to decay. So to cling to something, even though it's subject to decay, is to pretty much guarantee, sooner or later, the experience of what is called suffering. Now we're going into this in detail because this is what this path is about. It's not philosophical. It's so fundamental. Now the next thing is this rejecting reaction to an experience coming your way. Pushing away, rejecting. Fighting with. This reaction to something that is already there. It's inevitable. It's there. So we reject something that's there. I mean, that's instant suffering, this rejection attitude. I can't countenance this. I can't accept it. I can't let it happen. This oppositional, often violent, often hateful. Look at the news. See how this rejection side operates in the world and the suffering that it causes. But you also can observe it moment by moment in your own mind. A thought comes up, a feeling, a memory, a situation, and the instant reaction, I don't want that. I don't want it to be like that. It shouldn't be that way. All these instantaneous, they're very often reflex reactions. They happen so quickly. Which is why this path is no joke. This is difficult. These are deep reflexes. Don't expect instant results from sitting in Zazen, although you will feel results quickly. But to completely free yourself of these deep habit patterns takes a long time. You have to be very patient and kind to yourself about it. And the third one, this reacting to an experience coming your way, would be the reaction of what's called ignoring, or you could say delusion. So one might be trying to push it away and not notice it, like gritting your teeth and just be like a stoic, gritting your teeth and just bearing it, and waiting for it to go away, that kind of thing. Or pretending it's not there. Or making some story about it, or some story about yourself, like you are a collection of characteristics. That's a big one. We all fall into that trap. And that others are a collection of characteristics. That's this third thing, is projecting onto the world a reality that actually isn't there when you observe very closely. So these are the three reactions. So what is this path? This path is Wu Wei. This is a Taoist term. Wu meaning not, Wei meaning doing. Not doing. This path is about not doing. All those are doings. They're reactions to experiences coming your way. This path is about learning how to be with things as they are, with great attentiveness. and not doing anything about it, because there's nothing that need be done. Now, I'm not talking about in our everyday life where we deal with what I call a cloud of probability, or the future, trying to make something more likely than something else, trying to fix things. That's totally different. We're talking about this practice right here now on the cushion. This is about wu wei, not doing. We're taking a special circumstance here. This is what you would call the actual world, not the world that is about to happen or might happen or could happen, that's probable or improbable, that you want or don't want. We're talking right now about reality. This practice is about reality. Philosophy is about what might happen, could happen. Religion is about what might happen in the future when you die, and praying so that certain things are more likely to happen. This path is not about that. This path is about reality or actuality, your actual moment-by-moment experience and how you deal with it. And what we learn in Zazen is that we don't have to do anything. How refreshing that you don't have to do anything about anything. You can simply be the space in which it happens. How refreshing. How enlightening, how awakening, how amazing. What a tremendous relief. And to do it all together, that's the most profound group therapy you could ever do, is to all be together with your wonderful friends who are willing to do exactly the same thing, be in this present moment and do nothing about it. Just be it. Just experience it directly. This is what that path is about. This is Zazen. Direct experience. Why? Because when you watch very closely, very carefully, very observantly, when you observe a smell, or observe a sound, or observe a thought, or observe a feeling, a memory, a bodily sensation, whatever it might be. At the moment of observation, it is complete. It's too late to give it meaning. It's too late to do anything about it. It's done. I'm talking about the real world, the actual world. This is the world of Zazen. Not the world that hasn't happened yet, that might come, that might not come, depending on what I do and how I understand something, all of which is extremely important. I'm not putting that down at all, but I'm talking about this path that leads to freedom from suffering. To come here and fold your legs like this and go inside. Quiet the mind. Pick up your practice. Practice is important because of all the deep reactivity, reflex reactions. If I have to do something about the things coming into my mind and body and ears and eyes and nose and tongue, I have to do something about it. It's a very deep habit pattern, and it's reinforced in our everyday life because it's involved with survival. But here, if we really want to penetrate, we want to clearly see this and deeply understand this notion, this Taoist notion, which Buddhism and particularly Zen has adopted wholeheartedly, called not doing, wu wei. We need a practice to hold to intently. We hold to the practice. And holding to the practice is simply narrowing down our field of awareness to something that is fairly neutral. Counting your breath, following your breath. And when you get really good at that, then you can begin to let in the things that aren't so neutral, called shikantaza. Letting in any sensation, any thought, any feeling. And you can still be in the moment with it and see it as complete, not requiring any reaction, any understanding, any response, any rejecting, any holding on, any delusory idea about it, pushing it away, ignoring it. None of those things need be done because it's already complete. So we enter this world. We gently, gradually, sometimes jump in with both feet at times, suddenly get it. I don't have to do anything about anything. I can simply let it be exactly as it is. Everything. My future, my present, my past. The sensations I have now. The thoughts that come in and out of my mind because my brain is not in a coma. I don't have to do anything about any of these things. How refreshing. I can simply intently observe them. Now, this is the next thing about Zazen. It's very important to understand this. Someone might misunderstand this Wu Wei to mean I can just drift away, close my eyes, and have a nice little nap. But you won't learn anything in that state. First of all, because once your mind gets sleepy, all the reflex reactivity starts up, and you don't have the clarity to put down the reflex, hold on to your practice, and begin to see clearly when you intently see something that it is absolute. At that moment of observation, it could not possibly be anything but what it is. Therefore, it is done. Therefore, I need make no response except to intently hold it, see it, be clear about it. So the Buddha in the Diamond Sutra referred to exactly this aspect of practice. He said, develop a mind that abides nowhere, or allow mind having no fixed abode, meaning no place that it gets stuck anywhere. Allow mind having no fixed abode to flow forth. This is the flowing forth of your mind, moment by moment by moment. Why do I say mind? How is a sound mind? I understand how a thought is mind, but how is a sound mind? How is a smell mind? Because it appears. If it wasn't mind, it wouldn't appear. Therefore, it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be known. Therefore, it wouldn't be. There would actually be no smell. But a smell appears. Where does it appear? Only in your center. So now you can understand why you need do nothing about anything appearing in your body-mind in Zazen. Because everything appearing in your body-mind is confirming your center. Confirming it. There it is. Ah, center. There's a famous Zen master, famous because of the Mumon Kan. I think this was the seventh koan. It was Zuigan, called to himself. And he would do this all the time, like all day long. This is after deep enlightenment. As a practice after enlightenment, in order to maintain his clarity and not fall back, which can happen and happens to everybody. You can have an awakening, fall back into old patterns because they're very deep in there. He would say to himself over and over, Master, yes. Are you awake? Yes, I am. That's why I say everything appearing in your body, mind, and Zazen is confirming your center. He referred to it as Master. Are you awake? Yes, I am. Don't be fooled by others. Don't be fooled by believing that these forms appearing are somehow other than the Master, other, outside. I'm standing apart. Then I become an entity with characteristics. That's not what this path is about. So this Wu Wei. So when you do Zazen, you need to be very painstaking about it. Now when I say painstaking, I don't mean to turn Zazen into a chore or suffering task. It should be joyful. You should get to the point, not always right off the bat. It takes a certain amount of adjustment of your body-mind. It's almost like I work in an addiction clinic and I see people sometimes going through withdrawal. There's a kind of withdrawal from the old way of reacting to everything to to this way of observing everything. And that process is not always smooth and easy, and you have to have a little effort at first to get onto the wavelength. This is why when I talk to new people, I say it's not enough to come here once a week. You really should do this every day, even if you only do it for 5 minutes. Just refresh the muscle memory, the body-mind memory of Wu Wei, of being attentively alert in the present moment and not having to react with these three reactions, these three what they call poisons, all the time. But once you get on the wavelength, it's very joyful. You can't sometimes wait to do zazen. You feel like you're coming back home in a way that you can't any other way. There's nothing else that can do that for you, or very little, I should say. Sometimes hiking in the woods, or riding a bike, or being with your lover, those things are wonderful too. And they actually do induce this acceptance, this being in the present moment, not having to cling, reject, make a story. Just let things be exactly as they are. This is this precious thing that we learn here. So the painstaking part about it is don't skip over anything. Go step by step. Be attentive. Hold to your practice. See that when you observe something, it is done. Take a lot of time to clearly see that. Each and every thought moment, moment after moment, yes, is always changing, never the same from moment to moment. But each moment is complete. It's a complete experience. It's done. It needs no reaction because a reaction is irrelevant. And once it's gone, it's gone. So why react? I'm talking about in our zazen. Be very painstaking about this, step by step. And you do it by holding to your practice. Then you begin to notice something. You begin to notice something shining from everything. This was that master, are you awake? That things simply are. When I'm not involved with fighting things, holding on to things, naming them, creating all sorts of delusions and ideas, comparing them, and all the rest of it, all the interpretations that the mind slavishly goes through, I can begin to appreciate that things simply are. They are. Oh, what a relief. It's shining this like a soft glow. In Zen they call it the moon of truth. It shines like the moon. It doesn't shine like the sun. It doesn't hit you right in the eye. You have to quiet your mind to see this. And then you begin to notice it. And then you get very curious about it. And then it draws you in. Now we're entering these states as this draws us in. Dhyana, samadhi. It's very healing, deep states of zazen. And this is that area from which sometimes we wake up to something very profound. But whether we do or not in any particular moment, the process is so powerful if we just stick with it. So powerful. So we've reached the end of our time, and I think we'll end here tonight and say the four vows.